This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings this morning. Welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. Now, this is Thanksgiving Day weekend, and it's always a weekend that I am especially thankful for because I was saved at about, on November 24th, 1963, about 59 years ago. And I would like to read to you today from a tract that is on my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. It tells the story of how I was reached and saved. I've always believed the Bible. As far as I know, I've always believed it. It maybe took me some time to be convinced of that, but I was raised reading the Bible around the kitchen table, and I believed that when the Bible said you must be born again, that M-U-S-T meant must. I believed when the Bible said you must be saved, that M-U-S-T meant must. And those are four-letter words that I could not get away from, and I was taught them from my youth. The scriptures tell us that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's in Romans 5, verse 8. Thus, those of us who are saved or born again have been blessed through the death of another. In my case, this was especially true since the death of President Kennedy brought me to that place of repentance where I was able to see that through the death of Christ I was saved. How could I help but believe that? Here's how it happened. And as I said before, my early teaching from the scriptures was received around the kitchen table, since we generally read a chapter from the Bible as a family at least once a day. My father would usually comment on what we had read, and then we would pray. Although I didn't enjoy these sessions, I did learn that God is going to cast unconverted sinners into hell when they die, and this is a place of torment, according to Luke 16. I also learned enough about Bible prophecy, particularly as it relates to the Jewish people, to believe that the things written in the Bible are the Word of God. As a result, I always wanted to be saved, and when I was young, I used to think that by the time I was in my late teens, I would be looking back at this mysterious thing called the new birth, as we read about it in John 3, or getting saved, as most Christians termed the experience. Time went on, however, and I didn't get saved as I had anticipated. After finishing high school, I enrolled at our local junior college in Mason City, Iowa, and kept myself busy studying as well as working for a local CPA firm. During my second year at the junior college, I began to get concerned about missing our family Bible reading sessions. Realizing that I would soon be leaving home, which was my one contact with the gospel at that time, I began trying to read and pray on my own, but I didn't get very far. After graduating from the junior college, I did leave home to go to the University of Iowa City. Since one of my older brothers was already attending the university, we began rooming together in an off-campus double room. During the first few months in Iowa City, we spent many weekend evenings discussing scriptural things since we were both unsaved, but concerned about our salvation. We also attended some meetings of a small group of Christians in Marion, Iowa, where the gospel was preached. Things might have gone on this way forever if God had not intervened with those solemn events that occurred on November 22, 1963. I was in a business course when I first heard that President Kennedy had been assassinated. When I left that classroom, I found that the news was true, and two things began to bother me. The first was that once President Kennedy was shot, he had not had an 11th-hour chance to get right with God. I always thought that if worse came to worse and I was dying, I would certainly try to believe, since that was the way one was supposed to get saved. I don't know why I hadn't tried it before, if it was going to work when I died. However, I could see that if I had been President Kennedy, I would have been in hell. The second thing that bothered me was that the Bible told of perilous times in the last days. That's according to 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Thus, I could see that I needed to get things settled with God. That evening, we went to a meeting at Marion, which was primarily for Christians. However, the speaker advised those of us who weren't saved to go home and read Ephesians 2 until we got saved. Although the next day I should have been studying for two important exams, I tried to follow the speaker's advice. As I read Ephesians 2, I knew that I had walked according to the course of this world, according to verse 2, and I knew that I had at times had my conversation in the lusts of the flesh, according to verse 3. I tried to believe, but was not satisfied that I was saved. After having spent most of the afternoon trying to get the matter settled, Ephesians 2, verse 8 seemed to fix itself on me, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves." I realized that afternoon I couldn't give myself the assurance of salvation. Even though I couldn't seem to believe or have faith, I knew that the scriptures tell us to strive to enter in. That's Luke 13, verse 24. Therefore, I continued to read gospel papers and the Bible. I even searched my brother's desk for tracts that he had collected. However, I didn't talk to him or anyone else that weekend about my concern. I remember one tract in particular. The title of the paper was called Heaven or Hell for Eternity, which, in it, this statement was made: "Will no pang of deep remorse be shot into your heart as Satan taunts you in hell, saying, 'Was there no Redeemer to be found on earth?'" I knew there was a Redeemer, but I couldn't be sure he was mine since I wasn't really ready to just receive what the Lord had provided. And I'm going to read that again. I knew there was a Redeemer, yet I couldn't be sure he was mine since I still wasn't ready to just receive what the Lord had provided. That Sunday afternoon was frustrating. I had not gotten the matter of my soul's salvation settled, although I had tried all weekend. In addition, I was not prepared for the two exams scheduled for the next week. Since I had read everything that was available to me, I decided to start studying, not knowing what else to do. I figured I would probably never get the matter settled. However, just before I started to study, I thumbed through a pamphlet that I had read before called God's Way of Salvation by Alex Marshall. I hadn't read it that afternoon because I didn't think it would help me. As I thumbed through it, bold print on the second to the last page caught my eye, which said, "God says I am saved, and it must be true." Listen to that. "God says I am saved, and it must be true." These were the words uttered by a young convert on the night he found peace, according to the pamphlet. I continued reading the section and also saw these words: "If, therefore, you really believe on him who bore the wrath and curse for you, you have God's word for it that you are saved." As I read these words, I suddenly realized that the same Bible that told me I was a sinner on my way to hell also told me that Christ had died to save me from that hell. Of course I believe these things, or I wouldn't have been concerned about them. For the first time, I rested on what God said about Christ. No longer was I concerned about getting saved. I was saved through what Christ had done, and I knew it. So that Sunday afternoon, November 24th, 1963, when all hope was lost, I passed from death unto life, according to John 5 and verse 24. Now, a postscript should be added to this story. Because of President Kennedy's assassination, both exams were postponed. I was able to study for them later and receive good grades on both of them. God means it when he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." That's Matthew 6, verse 33. And according to this pamphlet, I've enjoyed reading the 116th Psalm, which is the title of this pamphlet, which says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication." And then he goes on to say, "Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, I realize that different people have different experiences when they come to believe on the Lord Jesus. Some, when they're young, don't have the struggles that I had, and perhaps there was some problems with the way the Bible was taught to me. Although I am really thankful for the home in which I was raised, where reverence for the Word of God was very evident. I'm glad for folks that could tell me that you needed to be born again, even though They really never explained exactly how you were born again, other than to say that the Bible said you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But they believed, very simply, that you had to come to a place where you realized you couldn't save yourself before you would be able to rest on the fact that Christ had died for you. Many people talk about making decisions. Well, I decided many years ago I wanted to be saved, and that weekend I decided I wanted to be saved now. And I often tell people who are working with people that say they want to be saved that they need to ask them three questions. The first one is, do you need to be saved? Well, I knew I needed to be saved. The second one is, do you want to be saved? And I wanted to be saved. If that's a decision, I made it. I wanted to be saved. And the third one is, do you want to be saved now? And I've talked to people who say they want to be saved, but they don't want to be saved now. There's something that they want to do first, some problem they want to solve first. But I wanted to be saved that weekend. I wanted it to be settled. I wanted to know for sure I was saved. And really, I looked at it this way. If there was something to this business about being saved, I needed to settle it. And if there wasn't anything to this business of being saved, I wanted to get it behind me so I could get on with life. But I really believe the Bible meant it when it said ye must be born again, though I didn't understand what that meant. And I really believed it when it said that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, and he was raised again the third day according to the Scripture. I believe God meant that. I really believe that he was wounded for our transgressions, that he was bruised for he was wounded for our transgressions. He bore our iniquities. We were like sheep going astray. We had turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I believe these scriptures that told us about the work of Christ at the cross. I believed them, but I didn't trust in them till that afternoon when I came to that point where I couldn't understand it. As a student, I thought I could figure out anything given enough time, but I couldn't figure this out. And I didn't need to figure it out. I needed to believe it. And I didn't just need to believe about it. I needed to trust in it. And when I realized that I couldn't solve this problem myself, the Lord graciously opened my eyes to the truth that Christ had already done 2,000 years ago what I was looking for him to do now. I was looking for him to save me now. And in a sense, I was saved now when I passed from death unto life. But the price of my salvation and the event that saved me took place at the cross 2,000 years ago. And it was almost like I was finding out that Christ had died for me, and I was And it had happened 2,000 years ago. Christ had died for me, and God said I was saved if I would just trust in it. And my eyes were open to that truth, and I remember getting on my knees and telling the Lord, Lord, I don't know if this is what the Christians mean when they say they've gotten saved, but I know this, that if I were to go to hell now, you'd have to be a liar. And I still enjoy that firm foundation of the Word of God telling me that Christ died for me. I'm getting to that point in life where it's nice to know that things are settled with God for eternity. And they were settled that weekend when President Kennedy was assassinated. And I'm so thankful for that. And I hope you've settled this issue as well. You may have come at it in a different way than I did, but you need to find out you're a sinner. And you need to find out that Christ died for you. And you not only need to believe about it, you need to believe in it. That is, you need to trust in the truth that Christ died for you. And you'll be as thankful as I am today. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and bless those who will listen to this program. We give thanks for thy Son in our Savior's name. Amen.